Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is March 4th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you that are listening to this via recording, which of course you can do by going to motivitality.com, where you can listen to lots and lots and lots of the archives or years of them, or you can subscribe to whatever podcast application you use, which is, you can and have them automatically downloaded. So I'm going to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions that you might have, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? Jen, do you have an announcement?
I have an announcement. I have a couple, actually. Next Thursday is the presentation that myself and Dale from Dataman Group and Kim Redden from the Water Quality Research Foundation, we will be presenting on different studies that the Water Quality Research Foundation has performed and how to best use marketing using those and how to use those that research also in the home, those studies. So it includes the Battelle study, which is the soap savings and the hot water tank, and then also chlorides being discharged into wastewater and oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank on the other two. But it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. But anyway, so it is at 2 o'clock Eastern time next Thursday, and you do have to register. So I believe if you go on my Facebook page, the Motor Vitality Facebook page, Water Quality Association Facebook page, the Water Treatment Pro, somewhere it's in there, you can click on there and register.
Or WQA.org or WQRF.
Yeah, there's all kinds of places. No excuses as to why you do not register. So I'm excited to see everybody there, though. The next thing that I had to say was I just want to remind everybody about the Motor Vitality Marketplace. I have been actually shipping out tons and very excited to do that. But you know, if you need replacements for anything in your test kit or, that's most of what we have in stock, filters, we have filters. So go on our website and check it out. We're also on Amazon, but little secret, if you go on to motivitality.com, it's a little bit less expensive usually. So that's kind of my plug-in for the MV Marketplace.
Yeah, sponsored by the MV Marketplace. what I would be interested if anybody does explore it. We have been really doing a lot of work with that. So I know some of the people on this call. You know, if you are looking for replacement supplies, like Jen said, that's a good place to go. But also, please let us know if there's something that needs to be adjusted or you know, you see something. That's one of the things that we've noticed as we put it up is that sometimes our descriptions are off or the confusing or whatever. So we really need that feedback, if you happen to check that out. So would very much appreciate that. So thanks, Jen. I appreciate that a bunch. Today is March 4th, and I wanted to start there. Les Brown had he's a motivational speaker. Some of you may or may not be aware of him, but he always talked about March 4th as being a day to, you know, a lot of people start the year off with January. They're going to have New Year's resolutions and they're going to, they're really going to, you know, that's the day that they really pick in and, you know, dig in and they're going to meet all their goals. They set those resolutions and everything. He always saw the day of March 4th as being that day, because just if you think about it, March 4th, right? We're going to March 4th. We're going to really, this is the day that we're going to recommit to those to those goals, to those. I always thought that was pretty good. It was kind of, you know, there's nothing special necessarily about March, although March is the month that I always start to get excited, because you do have a few nice days, you know, living in the north. December, January, February, those snowy days. March is the month that things start to warm up and people start to get more excited. And in general, the attitude of people seems to be better. You know, it's kind of cool. And this year, it feels like we are slowly rounding the corner of this pandemic thing, or like we've rounded the corner, like there's an end in sight. People that I love very dearly are actually getting vaccines, and you know, it's like there's hope like right around the edge. So I hope that you guys feel the same, that you see this as one of those recommitment days. But anyway, topic today. So I actually wanted to talk a little bit about a couple different scenarios, and on when we talk so much about asking for the sale and about staying committed to the customer and going out there. Last week we talked quite a bit about the amount of follow-up that you do sometimes, to get those customers, and the tenacity sometimes it takes, and how much we sort of live this job sometimes. I wanted to talk today about when is it okay to stop making a presentation, making a sales presentation? You know, and there's a couple different scenarios. Some of them, a couple are not directly related with each other, because there are a couple times that it's okay, I think. In fact, it's wholly appropriate to stop giving your presentation. You know, we've talked a lot about doing a thorough presentation, making sure that you're going in and doing the demo, you know, that you are doing the soap demo to explain the demonstrations, you know, that we've talked about doing the tea demonstration. We've talked about, the importance of not cutting corners, going back to the basics, you know, and doing that thorough demonstration. But when is it okay to not do those things? You know, when is it okay to cut that stuff out? And I kind of wanted to address it from that angle today, and talk about it. So let me just toss this out there for you guys. In your opinion, when is it okay to not do a thorough demo or water test? When is that appropriate?
I have a thought on that, Kelly.
Sure. Go ahead.
When you go in, if you are really having the customer's best interest at heart, then you make that decision on a case-by-case basis based on what you perceive is in that customer's best interest. And so there are times when you can look at something and say, this is obviously something that's not going to fit their budget, or their it's a difficult thing there, but it's something you might want to address. And, you know, sometimes it's not a monetary thing with them. Sometimes there's emotion involved, and you've got to deal with that. And so you keep going when you might otherwise stop.
So let's talk about the budget part for a minute. How do we know that? Because just about every sales trainer that's out there, you know, you said it may not fit into their budget. Okay, so most of the salespeople that are out there, or the sales trainers that are out there, even ones that I really respect and like, Tom Hopkins and Zig Ziglar and Brian Tracy, and just, you know, these trainers that I've learned a ton from and listening, you know, they're the big name trainers. They say you can't talk price until you talk value, especially if you're selling a high price item. So the training teaches salespeople to wait, you know, to not give a price until they've already presented the value, you know. So the customers, this is something that I think that both Jen and I, and probably you too, Corey, have a unique perspective on, because we have stood back and watched so many salespeople present and, you know, observe, because as trainers, we can see. So we're watching both the homeowner and the salesperson present. And the thing that I noticed is that homeowners frequently ask, how much is it? How much is it? How much is it? How much is it? And salespeople do what they've all been trained to do by every trainer out there. They say, well, let me test the water, or let me explain this to you, or let me show you this. And they avoid that how much is it question, which I watch. And Jenna, I don't know if you want to comment on this, or Corey, I watch the customers get increasingly frustrated with it. You know, you can see them, they know that they've just been, that the answer has been avoided. And what that tells them, I think, is that, oh, this is going to be pretty expensive. You know, they, Jen, have you seen that? Have you noticed that same thing?
I have noticed that same thing.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, so Jerry, the way I think you have to, and I think you're exactly correct, that is one of the reasons you may not go into this big, long, thorough demonstration, is because they've told you that it doesn't meet their needs. And the way that, frankly, the way to know that is to come right out and ask them, do they have a budget in mind? Have they had an opportunity to research water treatment? Do they, and I mean, that question is loaded with a lot more stuff in it than just, you know, price, but you do want to get to that, because the truth is, if they've got a budget of $800 in mind, most of us on this call cannot put in, certainly not a whole house system. We might be able to do a reverse osmosis or a drinking water filter for somewhere in that ballpark. But if they're expecting to spend $800 or $1,000, that's not what most of us are going to be able to help them with. Now, does that mean we just close up our kit and say, well, I'm the wrong person for you, you need to go somewhere else? I don't think so. I don't think that means that you stop entirely. I think that that's where if you've asked that question, you say, you know, have you had a chance to do research in water treatment? Yeah, I've looked online a little bit. Do you have a budget in mind that you're looking at? And they're like, I don't even really know how much these things cost. Okay, then that's when I'm going to do a follow-up. Everything's about questions, right? The more questions you ask, the better it is. So that's when I'm going to say, well, are you looking at monthly investments, or are you looking at upfront? And they'll go, well, how about, you know, both? What's it cost both ways? That answer just tells me that they might be interested in financing, so that if they can't afford to just pay for it outright, they might be interested in financing. Now I'm going to, you know, I'm going to follow up with that, and I'm going to say, oh, well, and you're going to do this based on your pricing, right? But I might say something like, you know, I haven't tested your water yet and really sat down to look at what you need, but based on my experience in the area, I can tell you the most expensive system that I would put in would run about $6,000. But that would include the very best drinking water system, the very best whole house system. And if you needed something like a neutralizing filter, iron filter, or anything like that, would include that too. And then we can go down from there. Now, at that point, the customer may say something like, oh, $6,000, that's way too much. That's it, which is something that, you know, if they say that, then your question that you come back with is, okay, so did you have a budget in mind that you want to stay with? You know, what number were you looking to stay within? That's when they may say, well, we didn't want to spend any more than $1,000. Okay, I just got to where they needed to be. Now, if they say we were really hoping to be, under $3,000, great, I can work with that. I can help them for that. Okay, I can work within that budget at that point. But if they say, well, we didn't want to spend any more than $800 or $1,000, at that point, I'm going to do exactly as you suggested, Jerry. I'm going to say, so we do not carry kind of the box store systems. You know, we are whatever company we are, and you know, we our equipment, everything that we carry, even the least expensive thing that we have, is going to be top of the line equipment. So that being said, there's, you know, I can go, I'm here, I might as well go on and test the water, give you a real quick explanation of how these things work and what the differences are, and then, you know, that will help you at least make the best decision you can make as you're continuing to do your research. doing it that way, you do tend to have a much shorter presentation at that point, but you're going to, but you are showing the customer at that point. And by the way, I've had that exact same scenario and still walked out with a $4,000 or $5,000 sale out of it, because they a lot of times may have something in mind, but they don't. You can't assume that just because they walked into it thinking they were only going to spend $1,000 that they're not going to have an interest in something higher quality. At that point, they're not wondering how much it costs. They're wondering why it costs that much. And if you can then at that point show the value of that equipment, they very well may choose that that's what they want. You know, it may make sense for them. So, but your approach to that presentation is going to be completely different. So, and if they say, well, there's just no, they may stop you at that point on the presentation, but that is definitely a reason to, if not stop the presentation, to alter the way you present, the way you're saying it. So what are the reasons? Might you cut a presentation short, or might you skip some of those sales strategies, the presentation strategies? What else? Thank you for that, Jerry, by the way. What else might be another reason?
Sometimes you walk in the door and they tell you exactly what they want.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
I've already had these. I know what I want. Let's go
yep.
with this. I'm not
yep.
going to argue with them. I'm going to
absolutely
sit down and write it up.
You know what? So what you're referring to there is something that sales, especially newer salespeople, I think, come in because they've been hammered. You know, you got to do that full presentation. You got to do it all the time. You know, you cannot be afraid to take yes for an answer. That's what that is. The customer says, yes, I'm ready to do it. I know what I want. You do need to test the water still. You do need to do a plumbing assessment still to make sure that it's there, right? I mean, if you walk into a doctor and you say, okay, doctor, I know exactly what's wrong with me. This is the medicine I need. What's the doctor going to say? You know, how many doctors are going to give you a prescription based on your self-diagnosis, right? So the doctor is...
They still make me take that little P test before they give me an antibiotic.
No, that's exactly right. But the doctor, if the symptoms that you're exhibiting meet that, then that may be the direction that the doctor goes in. You know, the test, he or she may focus the test that they're doing on your suspicion of what that is. So we still need to do the plumbing assessment, the water test, and ask some basic questions. But you're right. We, at that point, cannot be afraid to take yes for an answer. So very good. That's a good one. What else? When else might there be? How about go ahead. Somebody had something? Go ahead.
Yeah, possibly you're the third salesman in and they're tired of seeing the soap and water demos and they let you know that.
So that's how would you find that out?
Oh, you got to be up front. So if you talk to anybody else, you know, some people know a lot when you walk in the door. Some people don't know anything.
Yeah, so that's why I love the question, have you had an opportunity to do research on water treatment? Because that question is so broad. You know, it asks, have they looked online or have they had a competitor out? Now, my follow-up on that, okay, is usually, and Brianne, I agree with you. That was Brianne, right?
Yeah,
so I agree with you to some extent. On the other hand, I have found that people that go in, a lot of times those salespeople that go in and do that really, you know, that three-hour presentation, they're just doing a script. They don't really understand what they're doing. They've just been taught a script and how to say things and how to do it and how to shake soap flask, and that's all they're doing. Okay, they don't really know how to do the script. Or how to explain it. They're not internalizing that stuff. So you can't assume just because they've seen soap flask that they grasp the concept of the soap flask. But you do have to tread a little more lightly. But again, this comes down to asking questions. Have you had an opportunity to research water treatment? Do you know, you know, have you had, you know, have you spoken with other people? My follow-up question, when they say, yeah, if they say, yeah, we had a couple other companies come out. First off, that's extremely valuable information to me, okay? Because I'm sitting here going, if they had other companies come out, I mean, who in their right mind is going to sit through three of those presentations? That's just absurd, okay? I mean, nobody wants three salespeople coming out to their house unless those other two people that were ahead of me didn't have what they were looking for, right? There was some, because if they had done a knockout, bang-up job on that presentation, I would not even be in that house. They might have had a second one come out, but I wouldn't have even been in that. That tells me that they messed up, those other two people messed up somehow. So, I still have a chance at that. So yay for that. Which is, by the way, why I always prefer to be first in, always, because I want to set the bar. I feel confident enough in my ability that in most instances, they're going to call and cancel those other ones because I set the bar. But what you have to do is you have to ask the follow-up question. Okay, so you had a couple other people out to the house. Were there any features that you really like of the equipment that you saw that you really liked, that really excited you, that I can kind of present in comparison? Or was there anything that you saw that you really don't care about, that you don't need? And at this point, you don't even have to, if you know who your competition is, you know your competition really well, they may point out, you know, they may say, for example, yeah, I really like, you know, that there's a system that doesn't use electricity. Okay. They didn't have to tell me who was out. I know who was out and I know what they said because I know my competition. So that gives me a lot of really great information. You know, they may say, and by the way, if that were the only factor in their buying decision, I wouldn't be in the house, you know? So they may say, yeah, I really liked I really liked that I could, you know, on a couple of the valves, you could look at and see if the water was running, you know, if it had a flow rate. I really liked the battery backup. I really liked the ability to adjust the regen times. You know, whatever they tell you, it tells you what your competitors have focused on. But also it tells you if you have those same features, it tells you that you can offer that as well, sometimes better. If you don't have that feature, it doesn't mean you're not gonna get it. I mean, on previous MV Pro calls, I've talked about how when I had a Ford Explorer for years and I loved the keyless entry. That was the feature that I most loved about that Ford Explorer was the buttons on the side panel. It would just made life so much more convenient. I never had to worry about locking my keys in the car. So when I went to shop for a new vehicle, Ford is the only one that has that keyless entry on the door. So I don't know if anybody else does now, but at the time they were, and that's where I went, was to Ford. And I looked at Fords. I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee. So that feature, while it did attract me to look at those vehicles, was not the only deciding factor when it came to buying that vehicle. Okay, so you can't assume just because you don't offer it that you're not going to get the sale. You have to look at, you know, all the features and find out why they need it. So, but it is in the questions, you know, so you have to start that conversation off very frankly. Be honest, be very direct with them. Don't use trickery. Don't beat around the bush. Show them the respect. And yes, if they have seen it, if they cringe when you're pulling that stuff out, which by the way is why I really love that Spin Touch machine that you can purchase at the Envy Marketplace, by the way. So, and that's because it is different. But, you know, it is unique. It sets you apart from some of the other companies that are out there that are doing those tests. But even so, if they have seen those magic show type things, make sure that they understand what they were seeing, because there is really valuable information to that, you know? So you don't necessarily have to do it, but there is valuable information there. Why else might you skip out on some of the stuff? Thank you, Brianna. I appreciate that feedback. Why else might you? In my book, I refer to them as short timers. These are the people where you walk into the house and you have, they say, I've got to leave and pick the kids up in about 30 minutes or 20 minutes. So, can we make this quick? Are you going to do your full complete presentation in 20 minutes time? What do you do in that situation with the short timers?
Ask them what they need.
Absolutely. You get straight down to it. Thank you, Stacy. Get right to the point. Okay, so I'll tell you what, I'm going to test the water real quick. I'm going to do a real quick plumbing assessment just so I know what equipment, but while we're doing that, because we're limited on time, I want to just get straight to what you're looking for so that I can make a recommendation that meets your needs. You know, are you looking for a whole house system, both the water that goes on you and the water that goes in you, or one or the other? Do you want do you want a twin tank or a single tank? Do you want whatever you offer, ask that. Do you have a budget in mind? That's where you can get straight to the point and ask those questions very directly, which I actually, you know, they've set the stage for you to be able to do that now. They've given you permission to get straight to it. And at that point, if they need more information, you know, you say, okay, do you want upflow or downflow brining? And they go, what is, you know, I don't even know what that is. You can ask them questions. You know, do you want this feature or that feature? And if they start asking you questions, then that's when you say, you know, does it make sense for us to reschedule, you know, for another, you know, in an hour or so, I don't know how long you're going to be gone, or tomorrow, you know, or we can come back another day where I can sit down and kind of explain to you what the differences of these things are. And at that point, they may say, wow, there's a lot more to these than I thought. They're also realizing that you're not going to go in and do that big, massive, you know, a lot of times they tell you they have to leave in 30 minutes because they have sat through that 2-hour presentation. They don't want to do that anymore. They want to cut right to the chase to get to the price. But if they realize that they really do need to spend a little more time and effort on it, they're going to be willing to reschedule. Or I've even had it where they make a phone call and say, hey, I'm going to be running a little late, you know, where they do give you that extra time. But if they take them at their word, if they say they've only got a half hour, then get right to it. And yes, you're going to skip the magic show stuff at that point. Okay. Very good. Okay. What, any final, we've got about 2 minutes left here. Any final thoughts on this topic? Jerry, this was your idea for at least a title. So was there anything you wanted to add? I took credit for that before the call started recording, but it was really Jerry that had the idea. Any other thoughts on this topic, Jerry, that you were thinking about when you suggested it? What's that?
I think everyone.
Yeah. So the last reason I would say I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm lost. So the last reason I would I think we got a little delay. The last thing I would say is another reason is there are times when you go in and there's simply not possible to do it. That would be the only, you know, and you're going to know that with the plumbing assessment, that there's simply no way that you can treat it with because of the water chemistry or because of the location. And, you know, that sometimes does happen. And you cannot be afraid to, you know, to recognize that and to point that out. Usually there's always some solution, though. But anyway, with that, you guys, any final comments or thoughts? Okay, then. So, everybody, thank you very much. As always, I really appreciate everybody taking the time. And we will talk to you next week, if not before. Stay safe, everybody. March 4th.
Thanks.